49ers Rams Monday. You know, Monday Night Football, man. Gotta wait too long. Gotta wait too darn long. But hey, we'll talk about it anyway. 49ers Rams. Here we go. JB Long, the voice of the Rams.
Okay.
Joining us now on the UMA guest line. We've had JB before. Welcome back to the Murph and Mac Show, JB, with Brian Murphy, Paul McCaffrey here on the Niner flagship. This is where the Niners and Rams sit down and break bread, and we act like gentlemen, JB. This is what we do. Good morning. How are you?
Great to hear from you. Thank you for the invitation, Murph and Mac. And I think Stafford said it well. He's new to the rivalry, but the rest of us have been at this a long time. And I don't know about you guys, but it finally feels like the locker rooms are bought into it, too.
It's funny. I was just kind of pondering that and kind of going through it. Rams moved back in 2016.
Yeah.
They're playing at the Coliseum.
It's taking a little time.
There were some memorable ones early. Even though the Niners were awful under Chip Kelly, his only two wins were the Rams, right? It was the opener and then the Kaepernick game on Christmas Eve.
That's true.
And then they start to stack some big games, you know, and obviously, do you remember this with JB, the 2019 December Saturday night game where Jimmy Garoppolo actually threw for over 300 yards?
Well, great game if you're a Niner fan, but yes, that was a great game.
So, you know, that's what we needed. It was a little bit of time to start, and then obviously last year.
The NFC Championship helps,
Yeah, there were some third and 16s in that one, if I remember correctly, and they just weren't quite on the same page in those early years of the Rams' return to L.A. They started alternating runs of dominance, but now it feels like we could be teed up for three of these per year. And by the time they play again down here in Los Angeles at the end of October, it'll be five head-to-head matchups in the trailing 12 months.
How about that?
That's the type of familiarity between the same players and coaches that breeds contempt.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. You know, it's funny. We do a lot of baseball with the Giants, and we have Kruk and Mike Kruko, Dwayne Kuiper, and they always talk about a four-game series. They say, they're never a good idea. By the fourth game, somebody's hacked off at somebody, and he said, that's going to be the Niners and the Rams.
Too much of the same faces, yeah.
Yeah, totally. There was an instance this summer you guys probably saw where the Rams boiled over with the Cincinnati Bengals with back-to-back joint practice sessions.
Right.
And I would venture a guess that the days of two practices back-to-back during the summer are probably over, at least from the Rams standpoint. But playing division games twice in the same month has a familiar feel.
The other thing that kind of upset me about the schedule was I wanted a 49er Ram game late. I wanted one in December or, dare I say, January, like last year. So I think the schedule makers blew this one by having the Rams and Niners finish before November.
Can I just, like, read to you almost verbatim my column for this week that I've yet to publish, but it's locked and loaded? When the schedule was released, I was stunned to see where these games were placed, both shoehorned into October. I thought after the Week 18 thriller in the NFC Championship game, they would have lined this up for December and January. I can only wonder, and look, the NFL has so many considerations to take into place, and we're myopic sometimes in terms of we think our rivalries are the most important and deserve to be showcased nationally. So there's all sorts of logistics that could have dictated this. But I wonder in the back of my head if the league really saw San Francisco with Trey Lance as the first challenger to the Rams, or if there's more to this story, because we end up playing the Seahawks twice deep in the schedule. We're done with the 49ers and the Cardinals earlier, and that to me is kind of probably not how I would have power ranked the division.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, from a pennant race perspective, you're loving that. I mean, you want the Seahawks late. That's a nice chance at a W.
we'll see how it gets there. But there is a Seahawk on my mind this week, and that's Bobby Wagner. Because just like Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't lost a regular season game to the Rams, I think Wagner is the chess piece who's had a lot of success with Seattle against this scheme of San Francisco that could help tilt the balance in the Rams' favor.
I tell you, JB, I'm hearing, I mean, the more people talk about this game, the more we just had Greg Papa on, your compadre. Bobby Wagner. I've had other people. It's like, I think Papa's line was, everybody talks about Russ Wilson being 17-4 against the Niners. So was Bobby Wagner.
That's the thing that concerns me. Yeah.
No, I think there's some physicality there. There's some institutional knowledge, certainly. But, you know, by the same token, Eric Weddle's not going to come out of retirement again, barring some breaking news here. And Von Miller now wears Buffalo Bills colors. So a lot has changed, and I'm not sure that, you know, net-net, the Rams come out ahead. But it certainly is an interesting addition to this head-to-head matchup.
All right. So, you know, here we talk like sort of non-X's and O's, big picture, sort of nebulous stuff. But it's called the Super Bowl hangover. And a lot of people believe in it. They think it's real. I mean, you could argue the 49ers had it in 2020, although COVID was such a strange year. But, you know, well, you tell me, JB, it's hard to repeat. It's hard to, you know, there's a lot of celebrating when you win a championship, rightfully so. So, are you seeing any of it just on the field? I mean, we had Sam Farmer on earlier today. He said the Rams have yet to find an offensive identity Is there a little bit of a hangover effect right now?
Well, I think that identity thing applies to both of these teams, and I'm hoping that it brings out the best in the Rams. I'm sure the 49ers faithful feel the same way about Monday night. And I don't know if it's a direct through line from Super Bowl hangover to where they are now. There are a lot of byproducts of being really good, and among them is you draft last and that you play a first-place schedule. And I think really that's where the Rams are. Opening up with a 17th game against the AFC crossover opponent, and it just happens to be the team that everyone's picking to go to the Super Bowl this year, the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
That was a tough draw.
Yeah, it was.
And I think it did reveal some early flaws in the Rams, who were imperfect last year and certainly are again this year. It also makes it difficult to retain your talent when everybody has a career year and deservedly gets paid, right? Like Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, everybody gets extensions after a Super Bowl run. Why not? How can you fault them for that? But, you know, the budget gets a little bit tighter, and players like Von Miller ultimately choose to go elsewhere and pursue other opportunities. So it's all of those dynamics. Truthfully, I think what it really is the Rams, for the entire McVay run, have been among the league's most fortunate when it comes to the injury report. As many games as they've won on Sundays and Mondays in this case, they've won a lot more Friday afternoons. And what I mean by that is when the injury report comes out, for the last 5 years, they've had the better of it. And that's not been the case through September here in 2022.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Okay, well, that's a big, big deal, and Niners know that. Believe me, their starting quarterback is out, their RB1 is out, and arguably one of the 5-10 best players in the NFL, their left tackle Trent Williams, is out. So, you know, when the Niners or the Rams have been talking about this Niner offense this week, I mean, the Niner offense has been awful. Jimmy was historically bad on Sunday night. He didn't know where the end zone was, in addition to many other problems. How are the Rams couching their discussions about this woeful Niner offense?
I think they know they'd be foolish to expect anything best from Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan and Deebo Samuel and everyone else. And about, you know, Trent Williams, man, the utmost respect. I do think he is one of, if not the best, left tackles in the game. But I've also been around long enough to have seen the 49ers run right over the Rams with all sorts of offensive linemen missing, including both of their tackles in a particular instance. So, you know, I do think that this rivalry is going to stoke the best from hopefully both of these offenses. But the Rams, they hope, found the formula in that NFC Championship game. And among the interesting nuggets that I stumbled upon this week that I did not know about until Monday, they actually put the pads back on in a practice leading into that NFC Championship game. It was kind of a player-generated idea, and you know how little NFL teams practice in pads in season, much less in January. That was a wrinkle that I was not aware of that I think was representative of the temperament they know they need to bring to games like these against Kittle and company.
Yeah, and it's going to be I ask about the offense in Kittle and that crew and Garoppolo, but what about the other side where I think 49ers fans feel supremely confident, and that is their defense.
Well, the D is solid, yeah.
And it's sort of a two-part question, like how you view the Niner D and how the Rams, and then also the Rams offense, you know, you touched on it briefly here, but Stafford did not throw a touchdown last week, and I know Allen Robinson dropped one. He should have had it, but, you know, he has that tendonitis, and I thought his quote was, oh, it's pretty good, you know, so... Your take on that matchup, Niner D looking great, Rams offense not totally there yet.
Yeah, I'll kind of take it in reverse order. You know, believe me, when your quarterback doesn't throw coming off a Super Bowl run and a contract extension during the offseason program, you know, that's like having your number one starter with elbow soreness during spring training, right? It might not be the end of the world, but it's not a great indicator for the season ahead. That actually has not been much of an issue. I think Stafford has thrown it really well from all platforms and all arm angles. But when I look at the 49ers, I do see a couple of things. One, an improved secondary. Two, a pass rush that is as close to the Bills' talent and blueprint as I think the Rams will get again all season. And what I mean is the ability to puncture a pocket and play coverage behind it, right? If you can get to Stafford with four or fewer and play zone behind it, that is the best way to stay on top of this Rams offense. There's a case to be made that D'Amico, Ryans and company, I think, are the best defense in the league. The only caveat there, I know your fan base is aware of this, the Bears, Seahawks, and Broncos, what are those offenses?
Oof.
Not sure.
Yeah.
But I also can't say with any supreme confidence that the Rams have established that they are much more capable through 1 month of the season than those offenses. They've had some explosive potential, have not capitalized on many opportunities.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the Niners, the really depressing part of the Niners' 1 and 2 starters who they played, I mean, they blew some real opportunities. So now they have to beat a team like the Rams on Monday night just to get back even. So, hey, last one is just Cooper Kupp. I mean, my God. he ain't stopping anytime soon, is he? The kid continues to astound, and is that just how the feeling is in Rams land, that this guy is your sort of your baby Jerry Rice, huh?
I mean, there is a component of that, but I think the name that you mentioned earlier is really the secret to this week and maybe the season. They need a true number two. They've done some really nice things with their tight end, Tyler Higbee. Ben Skoranek, their third receiver with Van Jefferson out, has become the Kyle Juszczyk Southland, if you will. They're lining him up in 11 personnel out of an eye in the backfield. But this offense was structured around the free agent signing of Allen Robinson and him being a vertical threat, him being an across-the-middle threat, him certainly being a red zone weapon for Stafford and McVay. We've seen a glimpse, but for the most part, it's fallen flat. I think the best football for Allen Robinson and the Rams is ahead perhaps as soon as Monday night.
Well, you're talking to a guy who has him in fantasy, so I've been feeling his every pain, you know? And so, I want the Niners to win. I'll take an Allen Robinson garbage time touchdown. How's that? So,
well, I mean, that was the one connection that looked so strong throughout training camp with Stafford. For whatever reason, it has not clicked on the weekend yet.
JB, man, it's going to be a great, fun game. Like you said, by the time they play at the end of October, 5 times in 12 months, it'll be a bloodbath down there in L.A. on October.
Could be on Monday, too.
We always appreciate your time.
Good having you. Good talking to you, JB.
Have a great broadcast Monday night.
Well, we've all lived it, the rivalry, Northern California, Southern California, throughout our lives. It's great to see it back on the NFL stage.
It really is.
Man, JB, take care.
Bye now.
JB Long, the voice of the Rams, total pro.
Now, if we can only get the Rams fan base on board.
Well,
with just any of it.
So, Paul, I was going through a little bit for the Jock blog about this Ram rival, and the game that jumped out at me was the Christmas Eve day game at the Coliseum when Kaepernick's last win as a Niner.
I remember he ran one in, he did the fist, he did the whole bit. I remember that game, yeah.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.